Romans 14, I've been talking to you about imagination. Imagine, image, images, imaginations. All those things are in a sense evil. And I wanted the story to be told about this thing of getting that semi down there. I imagined it, believing that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. The verse that comes into my mind, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. I believed it was right for us to help those people. And even though that when we look at this church, there's no wherewithal that we could afford it, where Fraser has thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars set aside for these kind of things, and Catholic Charities and things like that, we didn't. And yet we were one of the first down there with a semi full of stuff to help them. So the next part of this thing is about faith and about belief. And belief and faith are a little bit different in that thought. And so I want to start with what is important. In Romans 14, verse 23, he says, he that doubteth is damned if he eateth. If you think it's wrong for you not to do something and you do it, then you're guilty. You're eating against your own conscience. He that doubteth is damned if he eateth, because he eateth not of faith. Now here's the point that I want. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So everything that is over here on this side is what? It's your own imagination. That which is faith is what? Godly or good or, you know, that kind of thing. So faith is a very important issue. What is faith? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. And these are things that aren't real complicated. They're not anything new here. You don't have to reinvent it. But I want you to think of it as in the comparison of what we talked about earlier in imaginations. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you can see them, does that qualify as faith?
No.
What is imaginations? They are visual images of what you see. Most of the things we desire in our head are things we desire that we can see. Illustration, a car. We get that image in our head and we see it. Is that faith? No, it has nothing to do with faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So the things that are temporal are not a faith. They're not a faith. They're just things. And they're there. And that's why commercials work so well. They play on your imagination, your thoughts. They try to get you imagery. I mean, you know, everything works off of imagery except faith. Faith doesn't work off of imagery, because if you can see it, then it's not faith. And so I started thinking to myself, well, okay, well, how does this thing work in our mind's eye? There is a division between image, our imagination, and belief and faith. Belief, you can believe something. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. You can believe something that is true and still not be saved. Belief isn't faith. Belief isn't faith. Belief is something different. Faith is the evidence of the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. That's faith. You can't see it, smell it, but it actually has weight to it. Faith is the substance. What is substance? It's matter. It's matter. It's something that is weightful of itself. It's not just vague and ambiguous. It is actually something that you may not see. I know I'm going to heaven. I've never seen heaven. I've even tried to imagine heaven. How many here have tried to imagine heaven? What do you imagine? We know most of the imagery of heaven is up on the top of a cloud. No, it is, isn't it? I mean, when we think of heaven, we think of people walking on clouds. How did we get that image in our mind?
Pictures,
television, TV. But that's not what God tells us in the Word. You see, it's all of where you're getting your imagery from or your understanding from. I still haven't ever seen heaven, but I know some things about heaven. There are some thrones in heaven. Now, when you think of thrones, what do you think of? Imagery of kings and palaces and things like that. Why? Because those are the only things we have to relate it to. But we don't know what it looks like. We just know they are. More faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? We image some of the things we think are spiritual with things that we see physical. We have no other way of relating it or communicating it. 1 Corinthians 15. Now watch this. All I want you to see in here is that belief doesn't save you. Belief is truth, and you can believe it, but unless you take faith as an action, it isn't there. So I want to let me just start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if, that's a big word, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Can you have belief that's in vain? So belief doesn't necessarily save a person. Well, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. How many people have had someone say that Jesus Christ died for their sins? But you still didn't think they were necessarily saved. And what I meant by that is an illustration. There's two guys in a prison cell. This was given to me by Brother Moore. The image of this actually came clearer today, and I've been knowing it for 20 years. And it's weird how that is. There's two people in a jailhouse. Both of them are condemned. Both of them are guilty. Both of them. And so this one guy, it's his day to get executed, and he's walking around his cell like... and just happy. And the guy goes, "Hey, you're going to die today." He said, "Not me." He said, "I have a representative that got me off, and they're going to come and let me go free, even though I'm guilty, even though I deserve to die." And he said, "Well, who is this?" And he says, "It's my lawyer, the Lord Jesus Christ." So sure enough, they heard footsteps. And they got the keys out. And they unlocked the door. He says, "Come on, you're allowed to go." And the guy says, "Well, how do I get in touch with your lawyer? If he can get everybody off, how do I get in touch?" And he says, "Here's his card." And see, the guy that gets his card believes that he can get them off. The guy believes that he can do all that. And so he sticks the card in his pocket. 10 days later, it's his execution day. Again, you hear the steps walking down the hall. He's running, actually. Gets the keys out. Unlocks the door, except now he's got a black mask on his head. He's the executioner. And he said, "But hold it, you can't execute me. I've got this card of Jesus Christ." And he's like, "Everybody who's got this card..." He said, "No, not everybody that's got the card, and the card represents the Bible, gets off." "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Have you ever called him to represent you?" That's the difference between belief and faith. Faith picked up the phone and called upon the Lord. Faith is an action step. Faith is something you have to... understand that it's you calling upon for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You can know all about Jesus Christ, but when was there a day in your life that you called upon Him in a lost condition, knowing that you were helpless, condemned unto God? And that belief, because you believe the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures say? There's none good, no, not one. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good. All have sinned. All our righteousness are as what, filthy rags. He says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not, hey, their throat is an hopeless sepulcher. Their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Who's full? I mean, you know all that. You believe it. But you've never taken the time to call upon the name of the Lord. You never saw yourself in need of a Savior to represent you. And therefore, your belief is in vain. And you can believe that stuff going to hell. And Brother Moore calls those lost believers. I don't like that term. Because if you're truly a believer, you're not lost. But there are those that have believed in vain. And that's a biblical term. That's a term that you can actually put on and count on in the fact that it is true. So where does faith come from? Well, you all know Romans chapter 10. Turn there. In Romans chapter 10. Listen, folks. This thing isn't hard. I can teach you, and you can believe in rightly dividing. Do you all realize that? You don't have to be saved to get this rightly dividing thing down. You can get it down lost. You know how I know? I did. Didn't you, brother? Did you know who your apostle was before you got saved? Just knowing the Scriptures will not save you. That is a misnomer that goes through. And a lot of people have certain beliefs prior to coming to church that they have in their mind that in a lot of senses are over on this side. They just have imaginations of what they think God's going to do. Y'all understand? A lot of people invent God in their own mind. The trick here is not to invent God, but to repeat and to say what God has said. Thus saith the Lord. That's the idea. And so a Bible church, what we do here that's unique, is we try to get people to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, this is what the Lord said. Look in Romans chapter 10. I'm going to just start up in the context and then we'll go backwards. I'm going to go to Romans 10, verse 9. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For within the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Notice the belief and believe and believe. Y'all understand? You've got to believe that Jesus Christ went to that cross to die for your sins. Listen, I had a guy, but he said, I got saved as a young man. And I said, well, how is that? Because you didn't even know the gospel before I got here. How is it that you think you can believe in something that you've never heard? You can't believe in something that you have not heard, then go back to a place you've never been. You can't go back to a place you've never been. It's an impossibility. And so people confuse this thing of faith. Say, well, I've always believed in Jesus. Yeah, but did you believe that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins? And listen, let me tell you, if you ever prayed a prayer and confessed your sins after you got saved, then you really don't believe in now. Faith is an action step. I mean, if you believe God died for all your sins, why would you keep continually begging Him to forgive you of your sins?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. And I said, well, you know, Mr. Smith, it just doesn't make sense. Well, he said, if I didn't get saved then, I got saved here. He had three dates. That if it wasn't then, it was here. Listen, let me tell you what, God knows. God, it isn't up like God some gray-headed grandpappy rocking in his chair wondering if you got saved. He knows. And the realization is first you have to have basic beliefs. Hey, listen, you can't believe on something you've not heard. So you hear the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. Man, listen, let me tell you what. Praise God. Colossians chapter 2, saying, and we being dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven us. That's the basic belief, but that alone won't save you. Say, well, I see that. Well, great. Then that belief ought to turn into faith and make you trust that which He did. I've known people that believed the gospel way before they ever got saved. Terry was one of them. Now, I've known the gospel. Yeah, but when was it really that you got the understanding that if it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't have eternal life?
Talking about imaginations, before I trust the Lord, I tried to make deals with God. You know, imagining in my mind what I could do that God would put His righteousness to my account.
I did the same thing. 2 hours before I got saved, I kept saying, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. And finally, at the end of those two parts, you know what happened? It came to this. It came to say, Lord, the problem is I'm just lost and I need a Savior. And the moment I got to that point in my life, man, it was just, oh, He did it all. But up to that point, I was making deals. Maybe you've made deals along the way. Say, well, I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to do support the church. I'm going to do all this. And all that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you could be doing it lost. Belief is hearing something and believing it. Faith is an action set. Let me show you. Go back to Romans chapter 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek, for the Lord, the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's the action step of faith? Call. That guy believed. He had all the information. It was there. He had never taken the action step of the call. He had never gotten to the place where he said, okay, I have this certain belief. Now I need to call upon the name of the Lord. How many here, prior to getting saved, had some imagination or some thought about God in a belief system? Everybody here. Everybody. I was the same way. I believed with all my heart that God was going to put the good on one side and the bad on the other and weigh it out. I believed that. I don't know where I got it from. I also believed that cleanliness was next to... Oh, y'all believe that too? Or God will help them that... Where did we get that from? See, we all had belief systems. But those belief systems were on vanity thoughts and not based upon the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. We all have that. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my... Well, how come we all prayed the same prayer? Did we all exactly have the same... See, all of those... And God tells us not to use vain repetition. Faith tells you that that would not be the way you want to do it. Yet how come we all do it? Because we were sold a belief system that was incorrectly or not based upon the Word of God. Period. Man, until I got to rightly dividing the word of truth, I can tell you my belief system was upside down. I didn't know it was upside down. Brother Moore was pulling things out of the hat that I had never heard. Like when he said there were none good, no, not one, all I could think in my imagination, the only thing I could think was my grandmother was as sweet as she could be. And I look at Oma. I'm telling you, she is one sweet thing. She brightens my day like you wouldn't. She's like the sunshine of my heart. My grandma was the same way. She loved me. Man, I had this belief system that she was good. That was based upon all lies. It was based upon imagination of my own heart. It wasn't based upon that of the Word of God. So this morning what you got to do is change your altar beliefs to that of believing what God has said. Why? Come on down. Verse 13 again, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon Him whom they have not believed?" Why would you call upon Him for your salvation if you never heard that you were so bad? I mean, that you needed Him. I mean, churches, you think churches are preaching that people aren't any good anymore? I don't hear it one single time. That message is gone out. It's like the candle had been blown out by the wind. It's gone. I don't hear people preaching about hell and about you going to hell. I mean, I don't hear that anymore. When was the last message you've heard on hell? Man, I remember Richard Deegan up at the Bible camp. He preached on hell. I thought the flames were nipping and I was saved, brother. I don't hear that preaching anymore. I hear all the fluff and the intelligence and all that. I don't hear the word being preached. Why? Because listen, let me tell you what. You got to start to hear something before you can believe. And how do you know what you believe is true? Well, you compare it with spiritual things. That's how you do it. You keep reading the Bible to see if what these people are saying are so, as in Acts chapter... Hold on here just a second. Go to Acts 17. We're coming right back to Romans 10 here. Go to Acts 17. Now, are you all in a hurry? Because I'm running out of time, and there's a couple of things. I'm going to be about 5 minutes late, so if you're going to get mad at me, just leave. I used to have this brother that used to come to this church. I'm not kidding. When it was 12 o'clock, he'd slam his Bible shut. Now watch this. Acts 17, verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." They didn't just believe it right away. They received it. All right, I'm going to listen. You know, mind is like a parachute. It always works better open. Hey, listen. I've learned to let people talk. They'll talk themselves right into hell. You know, if you always got to prove that you're right, all you're going to do is build walls between you and the people. Hey, listen, they'll condemn themselves out of their own mouths. Just let them talk. Well, that's not what I thought about Wayne. He says that he kept putting his religious foot in his mouth. And I kept trying to pull it out. I didn't want him to have a foot in his mouth. He looked silly with a foot in his mouth. But all I'm telling you is that these people receive the Word of God. Listen, if it's the truth, you can prove it, can't you? If Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is for us, you could prove that, couldn't you? Or if it's not for us, you could prove that, right? It's not going to change tomorrow. Just relax. Those people say, "Well, I believe in Matthew this." Well, do you believe in this part of Matthew too? Keep the commandments? I believe you ought to do this. Yeah, but do you believe in plucking out your eye? Just let their own belief system start to come. That's what we try to do, is show them that their belief system's on verses that they want. Well, we can all pick one or two verses out of Matthew that would be okay. Amen? But taking the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we couldn't take. If that was true today, everyone in this room would be condemned to hell. So what did they do? "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and did what? Search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." Hey, that's the idea. Because, hey, are you going to believe it right off the very first time? Are the people you're going to show it to going to believe it the very first time? It is going to take a long period of time. And the Bible says to prove and to reprove. Why do it over and over? The word re means to do it multiple times. Why? Because they're not going to get it the first time. You didn't get it the first time. How many here ever got the truth preached to them and they were Baptist, Methodist, or whatever, and they heard the truth and they got mad? I was that way. You know why? He was stepping on my belief system, but my belief system was on sin. And they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So belief is a building process. You start to add little blocks. Why would you believe with faith onto salvation without the foundational of belief? You've got to start getting that. How many here believe that the King James Bible was the inerrant, infallible Word of God when they first started? Some of y'all believe maybe other versions were, or that they were all okay. I mean, I didn't know what I believed, actually. My dad always taught us the King James Bible was the Word of God, but I don't know that I believe that. All these belief systems start to build blocks. And so to get somebody here on a regular basis to start to build their belief system, it takes some discipling. Why? Because people aren't going to jump to the faith action, you know, action of faith, without having some substantial belief. Amen? How many here changed your belief after you found out Paul was your apostle? And then there were multiple gospels. How did that do that? Because someone proved to you that there is difference and difference and difference until finally you had something to believe on. Gloria's shaking her head. She came a long time lost, didn't she? But you were gaining those belief blocks. And then finally, somewhere in your life, you go, you know, I don't remember ever believing this for my salvation. I didn't hear any of this thing at the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. I don't remember hearing that. And then based upon that, you make decisions based upon facts or the Word of God, not based upon your emotional makeup. I don't feel saved. How many here feel like 2 plus 2 is 4? If you feel like that's right, raise your hand. You do? Bobby, how do you feel? Yeah, but how do you feel? See, feeling has nothing to do with it. 2 plus 2 is 4, whether you feel good, bad, or indifference. It's a fact. See, we go based upon feelings. We think feelings are facts somehow. When you start to study rightly divided, we try to separate the feelings from the facts. Yeah, amen. And it gets to be an emotional roller coaster. And people have a hard time hanging in there because they believe in some manner that they've been good or done this or did that. We all do that. And so it takes a while to believe their belief system. But after they get enough of the blocks in the puzzle, then they're going to do what? Take action. What is action in salvation by grace? Here's the action step. Not doing anything is the action step. It is the absence of doing anything in grace. That's the action step. How many have heard of baseball religion? They try to cover the bases. Well, I'll get baptized just in case it has something to do with my salvation. I want to join the church just in case. I want to say that sinner's prayer just in case. That's baseball religion. Here it's like black or white. You're either lost or you're saved.
That's right.
There's no baseball religion. You can't cover the bases. And either there was a time in your life that you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you had some beliefs that you believed in. And we've all had that. There isn't a person in this room that hadn't had that. How many here has noticed something different here than other churches? That isn't coincidental. The men that stand behind here, it isn't to show you how good we are. It's to re-instruct you onto the building process that your faith, your belief system would build up. So what? So that ultimately you can take that faith step. Why? Thank you. I can't even think. My mind is twisted. The idea is, it is a belief system that's involved in there. You say, well, it's the Lord's faith. It is, but you've got to have faith in that. You have to have belief in that faith system. And that would make you call upon the name of the Lord. That would make you call upon the name of the Lord. That belief system. Say, well, how does faith work? Well, let me show you just a couple things, and I'm not going to keep you. I think we can get this done here. And there's so much. I could do like 6 weeks of things on faith. I mean, there's so much here that I'm not even probably doing it justice. Go to Matthew 14. In Matthew 14, I want to start in verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go on before him onto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the seas, tossed in the waves, for the wind was contrary. And sometimes I'm contrary, so that's a biblical term. And in fourth watch the night of the night, Jesus went on to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is this a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. Their belief system is what? Way down. They're scared to death. You know, listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And the idea that God is trying to do is that where there's true belief, there's no faith. If you believe you can do something, you're not going to go, "I wonder." Now, evil can evil, I guarantee you, when he jumped in that motor scooter and was going to cross the Grand Canyon, he was tinkling in his pants. He had no idea whether he was going to make it. And you start to build up some fear. But if you know you can do it, and you've done it time and time again, are you going to fear? Where true belief is, that is true belief, there is no fear. These people at this point have what? Fear. So what does that tell you about their belief? They have no idea what's going on. Now watch. They cried out for fear, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He said, okay, I'm going to test this thing about belief. If that's really you, I know you can do this thing. You allow me to come out of this boat. Now, what's happened to Peter's belief? He knows that if it's Jesus, he's going to be able to walk on water. Right? Faith is being tested. Faith that isn't tested isn't any faith, folks. You got to test the faith. So guess what? Verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Was his belief built up at that moment, and did faith take an action? What happened? He believed, therefore he did what? He took action. What was the action? He stepped out on the water. Now, faith can be tried. You're walking on water, you would think, man, this is Jesus, this is cool. But what starts happening to Peter? I can't walk on water. What am I, insane? And imagination. Can that happen to your faith? Yes. Oh, he did. Because you wouldn't have taken that step without belief.
No, he said, it is I. And then Peter's response to that, if it be you.
Yes. But he when he walked, did he start walking on water? Did he believe it was Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah, and when he started to fall, who did he call for? This is an illustration of belief first, faith action, and faith disturbed. So you know what? That's why Paul says you need to be rooted and grounded in love. Why? Because there's going to be people who come that toss you to and fro and carry about by every wind of, which is your founding box of belief. I feel like I'm just blowing it today. Belief can be destroyed if you don't have it in the foundational of the book. Not, hey, don't say my preacher said this. Oh, Brother Barry said this. Don't say that. Listen, if you can't find it in the Word of God, just let me go back. Brother Moore taught me that going through was crystal clear water, just pure, and he ate that fruit and he became red. I preached that. Found out I was on sinking sand. And my belief started to crumble there. You all understand? That's going to happen with you, with me sometimes. Listen, nobody is 100% right. Nobody. Not me, not any other priest. This thing is about you being challenged to go back to the Word of God like those people in Acts 17. Open, study it out, and check it out. I can tell you that belief always comes before faith, and faith is an action step of causing you to do something. Just like Indiana Jones, when he stopped out and he started walking, that's faith. Faith has, you can't see it. He's never seen anybody walk on water. That's faith. Faith is the substance of the things, hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Has Peter ever seen anybody walk on water? So how do we know? That's a faith step. That's now beyond belief. That is putting that faith into action. His imagination's caught away with him. And let me tell you what, you've got to be careful of your imaginations. That's why Paul tells you to cast down your imagination and every high thing that exalts itself, because it can pull you away from the doctrine of God for whatever reasons. Watch this. Verse 30. But when he saw, that word saw is a very important thing. What did that eliminate? It eliminated faith and brought it over to what? Are y'all getting this? You cannot imagine and have faith at the same time. You either believe it to be true because God said it. He said I could walk on water. I walk. He says you can be saved without any works. I believe that by not taking any works. That's the step. That's the faith. People say, well, I want to cover all the bases. Well, I'm glad I got baptized. Oh, I'm glad I walked the aisle for Jesus. Oh, I'm glad I did this. You know why? Because you don't have the faith to be saved. Why don't you just hang it all up and do as Paul called, counting it but dung. That's faith. The counting it but dung is faith. All that you see is in your Are y'all getting this? Imagination drives you away from God into sin. The belief and faith is a thing that pushes you to God so that you can walk on water. And he said, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. That's probably true. Faith. Now, if he told you you could move a mountain, could you do it? He didn't tell you that you can move mountains in Romans 2, Philemon. That faith won't work for you because he didn't tell you to do it. It's not in the Word of God for you to do. So here's the thing about faith. Not only do you have to have faith, but you got to know whose the faith it is. The faith in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that was given were given to 12 nations. And they had the ability to step out on that and it to happen. They could pray for the sick and they would recover. Why? That faith was given to them, and so they could, by physical, lay hands on people and heal them. Today, our faith tells us that we are to what? Glory in our infirmities. Well, that shows you faith. When all hell is breaking loose around you, when everything seems the dams of the deep of darkness has broken and they are flooding your soul, then you cry out to God, I will glory in my infirmities. That's what Faith Action Steps takes today. It was funny, when my son died, I tried this. And I put forth a claim of glory in all that he did, in that his death did to me. And Dad wanted me to feel sorry when his house blew away. So it's funny, you told me to glory when my son died, but you won't glory when the house comes down. See, it's different when it's yours. Let me tell you, folks, faith is tried is great. Paul's faith was tried, taken into cities, beat. Will you give up this belief, this faith of yours? Will you give it up? And he won it. And therefore the message of grace comes to us. Man, this is awesome stuff, folks. You don't get this in churches. They think faith is, hey, if you give money, God's going to give you extra money. But, you know, they'll do that, but they won't believe on the salvation by grace through faith. That not of your what? Self. What a great illustration of faith. Peter getting out of that boat, believing God, but then he lets his imagination run rampant. He saw. You see, he started looking at things that were seen, and the things which are seen are not faith. It's temporal. And sometimes you'll look at your environment, and all you'll be able to do is see your environment. Oh, poor me. I'm so bad. I get sick of people telling me how bad they are. Hey, welcome to the club. I lost my son. Welcome to the club. To say, well, I lost my health. I feel for you. I am saddened by that. But it's just wood and nails. As far as I know, they still sell that stuff at Lowe's. You can build back. Nothing in your life is going to happen but that which God needs to happen in your life that will perfect the person you are in Christ. I, by faith, believe. And here's the bad thing. I know that it took the death of my son to work something in me that God needed. God, I must have been the most rebellious person in the world. But I needed that in my life to work something out for my good. It's one thing to say you believe. It's another thing to have faith. People believe in vain all the time. There could be people here that believe in rightly dividing. They believe that Paul is their apostle. They believe, you know, that salvation is by... They believe all that, but they had never gotten to the point where they trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've never gotten to the point of being lost. They've never gotten to the point... They've never really believed they were so bad that God would send them into hell. And when that day comes, you can get saved. There isn't anybody that can get saved. Some people in here might be thinking, well, you know, I believe Jesus all my life. I was raised believing Jesus. Now, hey, listen, that belief won't save you. Listen, there has to be a day when you call upon the name of the Lord. When did that happen? And you know, that's what we're talking about. Hey, you've got imaginations. It could be, the Bible says, your heart is deceitful and above all things, desperately wicked. Who can? Your heart could run away with imaginations thinking you're the best person on earth. You say, well, that won't happen to me. He warned Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4, he said, hey, you can be... Listen, the only thing that's going to keep you from that falling away from the faith is giving time to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let me tell you, you get out of the Word of God. You just sit out there a little bit. You get out there where you're not coming to church as much. Let me tell you what Satan will do. He'll let that imagination of yours run wild. And he'll destroy that faith which you had at one time. Let me ask you a question. If you were saved and you went out and became an atheist, if you were truly saved, would you still be saved? Yes. You're sealed under the day. See, that's faith. Folks, listen, let me tell you. There's so many people out there preaching imaginations of their own hearts. And they're building some of the building blocks of faith, but they've never taught people to take the action step of faith, which is quit doing anything for your salvation and trust the Lord. That's the action step. Quit! I want everybody right now, knowing where we are, I just want you to take a deep breath. Just say, I can't do anything about it. If He doesn't save me, I'll just go to hell. You know what? It doesn't matter if you thought you were saved or you might have been saved. Listen, if you're not sure, right now, just take a deep breath and say, I'm going to relax in what Christ... And the last thing is the wheelbarrow illustration. It shows the difference between a belief system and faith action. There's a guy who gets a Grand Canyon and he pulls this cable across the Grand Canyon and he gets the wheelbarrow out and he starts going across tight roping with the wheelbarrow and he gets out about a third of the way. And he asks, how many believe I can do this? Say, yeah. Yeah. So he backs up to the sign. He said, really, how many believe?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, if you believe, get in the wheelbarrow. That's the difference between belief and salvation. There is a lot of people that believe Jesus Christ. There is a lot of people that believe He was the Son of God. There is a lot of people that believe He was the Son of God and died on the cross. There is a lot of people that believe He was the Son of God, died on the cross, and was resurrected from the dead. And they're lost because they believed in vain. See, I don't know where you guys were before you came here. I don't know what was in your mind, what you thought. I can't read minds. Brenda, quit thinking that. A little humor, I'm sorry. She was just thinking how cute the preacher was. Well, am I speaking the truth? Anyway, no, she didn't say anything. That's bad. Anyway, I'm glad Bobby wasn't up here. Everybody believed something in their mind. But up until the 24th of August, 1983, I did not believe that I could put my salvation rested upon what Christ did 2,000 years ago. So belief, imagination, and faith, and thoughts. By the way, thoughts fall into this category. Most of the things he talks about thoughts are evil. The imagination and the thoughts are only evil. Thoughts and imagination work the same. I was pretty amazed. So, synopsis, and I'll let you out of here. Everybody has some kind of imagination, amen, belief system, but not everybody has faith. Everybody has one of those, or some of those, or a mix of those. And you can even have all three, can't you? And how do we know that? Because in Mark 14, did he have all three? He'd never seen anybody walk on water, but he knew that if it was Jesus, he could. So he had a belief system, and then he took the action step by stepping out, and then let his imagination run away with him. And that's why Paul tells you that you be not tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You don't think that coming and getting your thoughts established in the Word of God is not important? It is the most important thing, especially young people like Sarah and Seth and Megan and Josh and Hannah and all the kids. You know why? Because listen, let me tell you what. How many grew up in a Baptist church, believe the Baptist doctrine without any... My mama used to say God used to help those that help themselves. I believe that because mama said it. I sounded like Adam Sandler there just a minute. Mama said it. I believed it. You know, in Waterboy. Mama said it. Yeah, Forrest Gump. You know, we believe what our parents told us because they're our parents. I believe that there was a Santa Claus. Listen to me. I believe that there was a Santa Claus up until I was about 9 years old. And I realized that when we didn't have a chimney, he was getting in through the door. That caused a little disruption in my faith system. You understand? My belief system. I believe that because my mom and dad. And when I finally found out my mom and dad had lied to me all those years, I was mad. I said, well, is it easy to trick? It's easy to trick Hannah. Hannah, who's your favorite preacher? That's right. It's easy at that age to convert them. That's why all these people have schools and programs for youth, because they know if they ever get them, they're hooked forever. Okay? Because all of that is built upon this lines here, and they're even being driven away from God or closer to God by faith system. A Bible church should build your faith based upon not what I believe, but what you can find in the Bible for yourself. I'm done.